as we come to the subject of love, the greatest need we feel is that somebody truly cares about us, that we really matter to somebody somehow. And within that, as we walk through life, those that we know we can count on, those that we know we should be able to count in our corner, those that we must depend on, come from that great sea of humanity that we do as well. That just like us, they're imperfect people. They've got flaws. Well, it's just another way of saying sin. And so that within that, that as we know the greatest need we have is to feel loved, we oftentimes don't get the job done because we get concerned about ourselves, or we somehow get consumed with what we're busy about. Now we don't take the time for one another. And so within that picture steps in the picture is God. And God is perfect because God is God. And as we see this, God is demonstrating his love to us, that he gives us a picture of love that is everything we could ever want, because he and he alone is going to love us how we want to be loved, to love us completely, to love us thoroughly, to love us in a way that will transform our lives, that we can be like him. We see this in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, our text before us today. And the first thing I want us to see here is that imitation is based on reception. Reading from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Now within this, the first thing we see here is that it's talking about the way that we're supposed to live. Last week, you'll remember, we just finished up talking about our need to imitate Christ, to be like him. Well, this is coming right out of that, in which it's kind of putting a little bit of a spin on it there, that is talking about a lifestyle of love. And we can see there that it's talking about, you can see there, it says, be imitators of God. Now the word be there is in the present imperative, which basically means it's a command. We are being told we are to imitate God. Okay, this isn't optional behavior. This isn't something, well, you know, I know that if I can fit it into my schedule, it's a pretty busy day, I need to set aside some time to imitate God. No. What we are being told very clearly is our lifestyle, the way we live our life every waking moment, and I suppose as much as it's up to us, every sleeping moment, we should be seeking to imitate God. Now that can appear like a rather daunting task, for God is perfect. He's holy, he's just, he's wise. And you that have been with us as we've gone through Ephesians, we know this is not something we can do in and of our own strength. This is the kind of thing that would be utterly impossible for us to attempt to do. It would be a very inadequate imitation, apart from the power of God. But of course, he has given us his Holy Spirit so that we do have the power to get that done. Now, within this, it's one of those things that we all recognize that children will imitate their parents. And which, of course, being a pastor, that's one of those fun kind of things. Because when you're home with your kids and they do the same annoying thing you do, you can laugh about it. But then pastor comes over. And all of a sudden, you know, that little annoying thing he does that's just like you is embarrassing. Oh, Johnny, why'd you do that? And Johnny's just looking at you with this, because it was okay when that guy wasn't here, so that guy is suddenly on his blacklist. But anyway, yeah, that's okay. That's okay. You know, you guys explain that to him later. But what we understand is that a lot of times the struggles we have in dealing with personalities of children as they go from 4 to 14, which of course for those who have raised kids through that age, no, that's right before 30 according to them. And as we deal with that, we run into that collision that yes, it is natural, it is normal that they are going to imitate our behavior. They're going to imitate the way that we act. They're going to imitate the way that we look. They're going to imitate the way that we talk. And so with that being true, we want to be a good example for our kids. Within this exact same analogy, we have here, we are God's children. Amen? John 1:12. To as many as believed him, to them he gave the power to become the children of God. So if you have believed in Jesus Christ, then God is your heavenly Father. And so it should be natural for us now, in a supernatural sense, that we will be imitators of our heavenly Father, just like we would be imitators of our parents here on earth. Now, as we look at this, you know, we go on here and we can see that this is something that within the Christian life, it should be natural for us to have this duplication of Christ himself. Just want to share with you quickly over in 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know... Hold on. I'm not getting far enough away here. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. This is the goal. This is the purpose of the Christian, to be like Christ. And so here we can see this is the picture that's being put before us in our passage today in Ephesians. Now, as we look at this, we see, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children. Okay, we understand we're dearly loved children. And, you know, we can think of the only child. And right now, you know, the normal thing when you say only child is that you're thinking spoiled rotten. And usually you have that B word attached at the end of it, right? Yeah, they're a brat. Well, that's not what's going on here. Can you imagine somebody that was, if you will, spoiled, but wasn't rotten, and certainly is not a brat? But we have someone that has their parents lavishing their attention, lavishing their love on them, stimulating, motivating them to go on and do great things in whatever it is they choose to do. Okay, so we get this. It's all the upside of being an only child with none of the downside. Now, I know that some of you that are only children figure, yeah, that's what my parents did for me. And those of us who aren't an only child are going, boy, I've never seen that before. I understand. It's a difficult concept, but just go with me because that's what this verse is saying. What this verse is saying is, as God's beloved child, it's saying that God's love is so powerful. It is just like you and you alone, and nobody else is God's only child. You get all of his attention. You get all of his resources focused upon you so that you will someday grow up to be great. We are to live as if we have been loved as God's one and only child. Wow. Okay, so for us to get what the passage is, we just need to stop and think of this cross. We all know, we all understand, if we were the only person who ever lived apart from that cross, apart from Jesus dying on it, we would be eternally separated from the Father. Our only hope, our only chance was Jesus. And so, even though he died for the sins of the whole world, the way it feels to me and the way it should feel to you, he did it for me. He did it for me. And so, as God's one and only, we should be motivated to then live in a way that we are going to be motivated and appreciate what he is doing for us. Number two, we need to live a life of love. And of course, here it's this lifestyle. You know, and the thing of it is, to live a lifestyle of love is to be putting us in that category that it is a supernatural love. Yeah, this isn't something that anybody can do. You've got to be a child of God. You've got to be that one that is loved like the one and only. And within that, then, it must be a sacrificial love. For if we were to be like Christ, his love was very much sacrificial. So this is God's love. So for us to imitate God, it is to be loving. And of course, we understand this is not natural. We have received a new nature. The Holy Spirit has come to reside within us. That new nature is what is going to have the power to connect into that one and only love that God has given to each one of us. Okay, so as we do this, you know, we should stop and just kind of like, wow, what an unbelievable privilege of being allowed to participate in God's love. Amen? And so that this certainly is giving us this thing that our love, rather than being self-centered in any way, would be rather much a rather self-forgetting kind of love. And that, of course, that our love is motivated by the love we have received from Christ. It was in the Father's plan. It was in the Son's obedience. And, of course, it came to us initially through the love of the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. Therefore, that same kind of sacrificial giving that Christ demonstrated is the love that Paul is talking about. That's the kind of love he's calling us to demonstrate one to another. Within this, of course, then that certainly is to say, if we're supposed to have the same kind of love, then our love is never to be dependent upon how loving, how nice, how kind the person is that we would show love to. The only thing it has anything to do with is the fact that we have received that one and only child kind of love from God the Father that we are to share. He's called us to share it, and so we should. Not based upon what audience we have, but based upon what he has already done for us. And of course, we, you know, as we look at doing this, you know, we understand that we must be dependent upon God, who has loved us and shown us this, that we may be able to demonstrate the same to others. Number three, love received and described in the last part of verse 2 there. You know, we know that Christ has loved us and given himself for us. And so it becomes very important for us to get love as God has described it to us in the Bible. It is so critically important that we understand there has to be that focus upon the sacrifice that Christ made. It is if we, as we understand the death of Christ on our behalf, that we will feel all the more of a stronger bond to living out the love that he has given us. And of course, what we need to understand here is that our part in this is not that we would seek to pattern ourselves after Christ and his love, but rather that we would submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit, who in a supernatural way will pattern us after Jesus Christ. As if we try to do it in our own strength, we're going to be trying to take the credit for it, and it's not going to have the desired result that it would. So we need to be surrendered and focused upon the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our life to empower us to do what God has given us to do. And of course, within this, you know, we can see this picture and that we know the love was received because Christ died on our behalf. Now, it's important for us to understand with God that as we look at this beautiful picture here, that it's a fragrant aroma. That specifically it says, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. This was a way in the Old Testament that it was describing the sacrificial process, that it would say that as the sacrifice was made, it made a fragrant aroma to God. This is to say that it was acceptable to God, that it was pleasing to God. It was like God's stamp of approval to say it smelled good. It'd be much like if you were on a blind date. You know, it would be a sense of approval for your date to tell you, you smell good. Because the opposite of that wouldn't be good. And so we can see within this that this fragrant aroma is God being pleased. But as we look at the context here, we can see that it's talking about the sacrifice of Christ, his death on a cross. And we should not for one moment think that in some way death, especially the death of his son, is somehow pleasing to God. No, but within that death was the satisfying of his righteousness, was the appeasing of his justice that had a sentence impending out there upon each one of us. And because God accepted the sacrifice, then he was pleased, and it was a pleasant aroma because it brought us salvation. So we can see this picture that he's giving of this pleasant aroma is one of those things that we are to have within us. Now, we certainly understand that as we came to Christ, that was a pleasant aroma from God. It's like, oh, wow. You know, we maybe didn't stop and say that smelled good, but we certainly stopped and said that felt good. Within that, we can see that as we're looking at this picture, that we are to imitate God. We understand the what he's really saying of what we left in chapter 4, verse 32, is that we are to imitate Christ. We are to imitate Christ's love. And so that this is how we imitate God, is to duplicate Christ in our life. As we're talking about the subject of love, obviously to be unloving, you know, to fail to demonstrate love, to have shortcomings that would leave us not doing exactly what we should. It's just another way of saying sin. It's sin. And within this, we see why. Because it is the willful disobedience of the command of God in which we have been commanded. We must have a lifestyle of love. know, it's one of those that we just go with it, and within this, you know, we not only would be disobeying God, but we'd be disrespecting His example. You know, my Aunt Elaine that just passed was never clobbering anybody with a Bible, never forcing her faith on anyone, but she started every single relationship with anybody. She just meets somebody, and she's bringing love into that relationship first. And then she's seeing what else they may need, and she was going to be a need filler because love dictated that. And that's why I will greatly miss her, because she was such an extraordinary example of a lifestyle of love. As we look at that, you know, we can see that the impact of our seeking to have a lifestyle of love goes way beyond God. Yes, we are to be imitators of God, and He's watching us to see how well we do at imitating, right? And he just wave a hand at me or something. Okay, good. And so as we consider that God's paying attention, so is everybody else. So is everybody else. Your brothers and sisters in Christ are watching. Your family members are watching. Those in the community are watching. And so within this, as we think about Christ pouring out His life in love for us, it was a fragrant aroma to God. Well, certainly that brings us to the point. It brings us to that evident place in our life. How fragrant of an aroma is your life before God? Because is not your life of service a sacrifice on His behalf? So is it fragrant? Yes, it is. Is it pleasant or unpleasant? You know, there's none of us that wants to own up to at the end of the day, "Woo! That was me." We want to be pleasant. We want to have that pleasant aroma before God. And within that, we must know that if we think we stink, we probably do, and we need to change our lifestyle of love. Three things to maybe try to help us take this home with us today. Number one, I want you to remember you're just like an only child. Free from the spoiled, free from the rotten, free from the brat. You have received from God all of the attention, all of His resources, all of His tender mercies, His love, His grace, so that you have been His child. And as His child, He now wants you to imitate Him. Secondly, one cannot imitate what one does not know. I mean, you know, this only makes sense. That how in the world are you going to imitate someone that you are not in a relationship of knowing more and more? Within that, you know, we certainly have fellowship with one another. The primary purpose of us fellowshipping together is not food. Okay, that's a bonus. But the primary purpose is that we learn from one another. That we be able to garner some things like, oh, now that makes sense. But you know, that's all well and good with the fellowship. But the primary place, where's the primary place if we're going to learn about imitating God? What have we got to know? What have we got to know if that's going to happen? It's this book. It's the Word of God. It is the Bible. Without this, we aren't going to know how to imitate Him. We aren't going to know how to love like Him. And that's the reason that for those of you who maybe were coming in and didn't know what the tables were set up for, the tables are back there for you to sign up and say, I want to know Him better so I may imitate Christ more. So that I will give a fragrant offering from my life back to Him. The tables are out there. please use them. If you haven't signed up, please do. Because the idea is kind of this. If you want a pleasant, pleasing aroma to God, you'll sign up. You know, if you want to smell good, if you want to smell good for Christ, you will involve yourself in being together with us in knowing our God better. Number three, become a student of God's love. You know, here, obviously, the first thing is you've got to be dependent upon your teacher. Your teacher here is the Holy Spirit of God. Like in learning to love is no different than any other spiritual fruit you are going to do in your life. Apart from the Spirit of God, we will produce no spiritual success, no spiritual fruit. Spiritual fruit only comes from the Spirit of God. If we're in tune with Him, if we're having Him operate in our lives, then we will do what we need to do. So pay attention to the teacher. Learn all you can. And of course, within this, then, as we do, pay attention to the homework that your teacher gives you. Be ready for those quizzes and tests that you will be given. And of course, this is the kind of class. It's not the kind of class you sit at a desk. It's not where everything is contained within the classroom. No, this is a lab class. This is one in which you are sent out into the world for your exam. So if we're at school, we need to be in tune with the teachers and the students there, that we would be able to live a lifestyle of love before them. At work, with our coworkers, with our boss, with our employees, the same thing applies. It's quiz time. How are we going to do today for living a lifestyle of love at home? Sometimes the toughest spot to go ahead and live a lifestyle of love. Moms, dads, brothers, sisters, any combination, live a lifestyle of love. This is one of those passages in which it's very short, it's very simple, and it's calling us to something that is so profound. But every single one of us, I know this for a fact, every single one of us came to Jesus Christ for the salvation of our soul because He loved us so. Amen? And so that should be our motivation. We have been loved like His one and only. We are to live a lifestyle of love. And as we seek to do that, as we seek to imitate Christ, as we seek to imitate God, our desire should be to live out in front of everyone a lifestyle of love. Father, we thank You that You have loved us with an everlasting love. Lord, it's so hard for us to fathom the depths of that in our natural thinking. Lord, only in Your Spirit can we grab a hold of that. Lord, may we be impressed with the call, the command to imitate You that we find in Jesus Christ. And Lord, may we never let go of the fact You have loved us like an only child.